They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent His only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in a manger, but ended His life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Today we are continuing, and I believe we'll conclude, our sermon series on critical race theory. And what we're going to look at today, we're going to ask the question, are all whites oppressors? Are all blacks victims and oppressed? And do whites owe an apology to blacks for what has happened in the past, the wrongs that have happened in the past in America over slavery? So we are going to look at this from a biblical standpoint, and we're also going to expose some agendas that are underlying this whole topic and why this is actually being brought up today. One of the things that we talked about last week, we asked the question last week, is America systemically racist? And we actually showed from many different examples that America is not systemically racist. There are certainly racists that live today, but if America was systemically racist, would people of color be willfully immigrating into America? The answer is probably no. We currently have people legally and illegally coming into this country, people of color. There are some people who do discriminate. There are some people who do actually look at and do oppress, but the vast majority of people don't do that anymore in America. And we talked about the Nigerians. They're black. They come here to America. The majority of them, they have a higher percentage of Nigerians that immigrate to America that have college degrees, postgraduate degrees, and they earn a higher wage than the average population, which would not be possible if we had systemic racism in America. We recently went to the Florida Family Policy Council dinner where Dennis Prager, who is a Jew, spoke. One of the points that Dennis Prager made is that prior to World War II, Jews were not immigrating to Germany. Germany was systemically racist, and Jews knew that and were not immigrating. But there are people from Africa today that are willfully immigrating to America because America is not systemically racist. One of the things that we didn't mention last week is that the system is, to some extent, actually rigged today, and it is rigged in the opposite way of what most people that are looking at systemic racism are alleging. Actually, if you apply to a college and you put down that you are African American, you actually have a better chance of getting into that college than a white person would have, and a far better chance of getting into that college than someone who is of Asian descent would have. In fact, the Asians today are actually largely discriminated against in entrance to colleges because there's this idea that we need to have that the population of the college needs to mirror the population of the United States of America. And And there are large, way more Asians that qualify to enter into colleges than actually are admitted. By the way, Thomas Sowell actually argues that allowing a black person into a college, and many times when they do, they have a higher percentage of black people entering college, what they actually do, they're lowering the standards. So they're allowing blacks into a college that they otherwise would not qualify for, except for by their race. And Thomas Sowell actually argues that that doesn't do a favor to the students, because they come in ill-prepared, not prepared to actually achieve or actually study and produce work on the level that they are expected to produce. And so they struggle. He says it would be much better off if they went to a lower-end college and they learned and they increased their knowledge. And then once they have increased their knowledge, we're then able to transfer to a higher-end school where they would be more challenged, but they would be ready for that challenge. If you put on your job application that you're black or that you're Hispanic, you actually have a higher chance of getting hired, and especially if you're good at what you do. And this is called affirmative action. And there's a lot of pressure put on businesses to have a certain number of blacks and a certain number of Hispanics. And so businesses will actually hire more blacks and more Hispanics than they maybe ordinarily would do. And so if you are white, you could actually be a victim of systemic racism where you could be looked over, you could be passed over for a job or for a promotion, and because you're not black or you're not Hispanic. What we're looking at, though, with critical race theory, you actually see kids, students, being divided up by their races. By the way, one of the whole things before with Jim Crow laws was that students were divided. They were segregated. Well, these proponents of critical race theory, actually, they are racist, and they are dividing children based on their race, and they're pitting one group against another. And the white kids are being told in some schools that they're oppressors, and the blacks are being told that they are oppressed. Whether the whites have actually oppressed anyone or not, or whether the blacks have actually ever been oppressed or not. This division is actually a Marxist tactic. And you may recall that one of the founders of Black Lives Matter on a national television interview stated that she and another founder of Black Lives Matter were trained Marxists. Well, how do Marxists actually come into a country and overthrow the system and actually take power? They do so through division. Jesus said that a house divided against itself shall not stand, and a nation that is divided against itself shall not stand. Moreover, if you remember the Tower of Babel in Genesis, in the Tower of Babel, what they actually did is they were attempting to build a tower up to heaven. And God actually came down and looked at it and said, they're going to be able to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish. So let's confuse them. Let's divide them. Let's give them different languages to actually divide them so that they're not united, so that they can't accomplish their purpose. And this is what the Marxists do. This is how they took over how Stalin took over in Russia, And he did so by actually looking at class through class warfare. And certainly that's been tried in America. We've seen class warfare. In fact, not too long ago, we actually saw a big phrase, the 99%, 99% versus the 1%. And you saw people saying, you know, people even driving around with vehicles that had 99% on the back of their, on the back window. And there was this idea that it was the rich versus the poor. We've seen also in this country, prior to that, we saw an attack on the founding fathers and you know, to actually divide America. What we're seeing now is the attempt to divide America based on race. And this is not what is right. What we need to do to maintain and to actually strengthen our country, which, by the way, has given blacks the best opportunity for freedom. In fact, we abolished slavery. Do you know that the members, there's over 200 members of the United Nations, and currently today, over half of those nations allow slavery, including China, including many countries in Africa. They not only allow slavery, they practice slavery. It's legal. And there are far more slaves in the world today than were in the world during the African slave trade. So those who are really, really want to actually do something and want to actually make a change and make a difference should actually be fighting for human rights with where it's actually needed to end slavery in these over 100 nations that actually allow slavery today, and should be working to abolish abortion, which is the largest, the biggest civil rights and human rights issue of our day. When we look at this, and we think, well, first of all, you know, what is being assumed is that you are responsible for the sins of previous generations. And this is not something that actually is biblical. This is not the way God looks at things. In fact, we're going to read in the Bible and we're going to see that God actually does not allow for children to be punished for the sins of their fathers. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16, we read, "Fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sin." So this is critical when we look at this, to realize that you're not responsible for the sins of your fathers, much less the sins of any previous generation, many, many, many generations ago. You're not responsible for that. You're responsible for your own actions. Also, just because you're black in America doesn't mean that you're oppressed. In fact, again, we talk about the Nigerians. You know, if the Nigerians can come here from a different country and can actually go through college and can be successful doctors, successful educators, then why can't you be successful? You can do it. You know, what does the Bible say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, there are some who are racist. There are some who will actually discriminate. But that shouldn't stop you, because you have Jesus Christ in you and you live in this nation where productivity and accomplishment are rewarded, where you can actually receive the benefits, reap the benefits of your own labors. And so we need to realize, first of all, that children are not responsible for the sins of their fathers. Also, God does punish children to the third and fourth generation of those who sin against him. You read this in Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the father on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. So we see that God can go beyond your individual sins, and he can actually bring judgment to the third and fourth generation, but man cannot. We are not permitted to put people into boxes like that and say, well, you're an oppressor because you're white. And let's think about that for a bit. Well, you are white. You know, maybe you are white. If you are white, but your ancestors were slaves, because there were, as we've studied, you can go to our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, and also our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle. You can see some of those previous videos, some of those previous sermons that, and you can listen to them and watch them. Some of the previous sermons that we've gone over this, there were slaves in America who were white. And in fact, there were more white slaves throughout the world at that time than there were black slaves. And the Muslims, the Barbary Muslims, were actually kidnapping whites and making them slaves. So if you're white and your ancestors were slaves, then how would you be an oppressor? If you are black and your ancestors owned slaves, and there was a large portion of the free black men in the South that actually owned slaves. So if you're black and your ancestors were slave owners, how does that make you oppressed? And there was even a very small percentage of the people, even in the South, that owned slaves. So, you know, if your family never owned slaves, even if you were responsible, which you aren't responsible for the sins of your fathers, then how would that make you someone that needs to apologize? How would that make you an oppressor? You know, we've talked about this, and we've looked at this. This is something that definitely we need to actually engage in, and we need to apply biblical principles to this. Now, how about the descendants of the pilgrims who in 1641, long before America was a nation, the United States of America was a nation, long before the founding fathers era, the pilgrims actually passed the first anti-slave law. If you are a descendant of the pilgrims, how would that make and you were responsible for the sins of your fathers, how would that make you guilty and an oppressor? It obviously wouldn't. How about the descendants of Benjamin Franklin and Benjamin Rush, who actually founded America's first anti-slavery society in 1774, or the descendants of John Jay, who founded a similar society in New York, or the signers of the Constitution, William Livingston, Richard Bassett, James Madison, James Monroe, Bushrod Washington, Charles Carroll, William Few, John Marshall, Richard Stockton, Zephaniah Swift, and many more who were members of abolitionist societies. How about the descendants of the Pennsylvania and Massachusetts legislature that actually started abolishing slavery in 1780? Or the descendants of the Connecticut and Rhode Island legislature who started abolishing slavery in 1784? or the legislature in the descendants of the legislature in Vermont who started abolishing slavery in 1786, or in New Hampshire in 1792, or New York in 1799, and New Jersey in 1804. How about the descendants of constitutional signer Rufus King and President George Washington? Rufus King authored a bill that prohibited slavery in the territories of Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Iowa. These states never had slavery. Slavery was never legal there. Why? Because Rufus King authored a bill that was passed and signed into law that prohibited slavery. How about Thomas Jefferson, who even owned slaves, and he was one who, because of how lavish he lived, and he lived above his means, he was never able to actually abolish or actually emancipate his slaves, as many of the founding fathers did. Thomas Jefferson, in his original draft of the Declaration of Independence, he actually did include a charge that the King of England had forced slavery upon America. We also see that he actually introduced a bill to end slavery, and even though, again, he didn't emancipate his own slaves, his words that he penned in the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed not by the thing, you know, that thing, as Joe Biden says, but by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those words were used to effectively end slavery in America. And not only in America, but we actually started abolishing slavery before England did. And of course, the work of abolitionists in America, as well as William Wilberforce in England, their work actually abolished slavery not only in England and in the United States of America, but also really in large part throughout the world. Although, again, we're still aware that slavery does exist today in America. Now, are you an oppressor? Well, you need to examine yourself, not your parents, not your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your great-great-grandparents, or many generations before that. You need to examine your own heart to see if you are an oppressor. Now, we're going to go over some ways that you might be an oppressor and you might need to apologize. And by the way, the Salvation Army this year is actually suggesting that white people that make donations to their organization should also include with it an apology for racism. Well, what if you aren't a racist? What if you haven't discriminated against anyone? What if you love people regardless of their skin color? You know, what if you're white and you're married to someone that's black, or you're married to someone that's Hispanic? Does that make you a racist? Do you need to apologize if you're white and you've never discriminated, if you haven't actually participated in hatred towards someone based on their skin color? Do you need to apologize? No, there's no apology needed. What is needed is if you were a part of the legislature that worked to pass Jim Crow laws, or if you supported them, if you worked and you opposed their abolition, then you do need to apologize to the people that you oppressed. If you were or are a member of the Ku Klux Klan, then as Robert J. Byrd, our former senator, and Al Gore's dad, they were both members of the Ku Klux Klan. Robert Byrd was actually a recruiter for the Ku Klux Klan. You need to apologize. Well, if you are a member of another white supremacist group, you do need to repent of your sins and you need to apologize. If you've ever lynched anyone, you need to apologize to the family of the person that you lynched. If you've ever discriminated, you know, those other things, probably most people haven't done those. But if you've ever hated someone, if you've ever hated them based on their skin color or discriminated against them based on their skin color, you need to apologize to those people, not to someone else that you haven't done that to, but to the people that you've done that to. If you have ever supported abortion, especially if you've been a supporter of Planned Parenthood, who is the largest abortion provider and actually was founded, one of their founding principles was to actually exterminate human weeds, which they, Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, called blacks and actually Hispanics human weeds. If you have been a supporter of Planned Parenthood and of abortion, you need to repent and you need to apologize. But if you are someone who loves, who realizes and recognizes that all men are created equal, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, that we have rights and have value because our lives are created in God's image, that the same God that created us created them, and we need to respect everyone regardless of their skin color, regardless of their ethnicity, then you don't need to apologize. We need to actually work together for unity. We need to build each other up. We need to show one another that we love one another. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent His only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in a manger, but ended His life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.